Om Shanti, good evening. Welcome to this session of Aviyakt Murli Revision, which is a standard part of the Madhuban experience. I think the highlight for us when we come to Madhuban is to go to Diamond Hall and experience a meeting with Aviyakt Bap Dada. And then the icing on the cake is the next day when we have Aviyakt Murli Revision. Now, this year, we have a very unique and special and wonderful Aviyakt Revision, and it's because it's going to be experiential. Not only will you be reminded of Baba's message for us last night, but you will actually experience. And so, for this kind of a session, the ideal instrument would be Sister Aruna. Many of you know Sister Aruna from her Murli Revisions with Sister Jenti, Aviyakt Murli Revisions with Sister Jenti. And you would know that she has a passion for diving into Baba's Murlis, pulling up the pearls, and then looking at them with fresh perspectives so that we can gain some kind of a new understanding that brings us closer to our perfect selves. And many of you might know Sister Aruna also from the many books that she's written, which are in Global Office. She came to Baba as a child and has been serving Baba for 40 years. I think I can say 40 years. In many countries, in several continents, she now resides at the Global Retreat Center in Oxford, where she participates in offering very innovative and fresh approaches to Baba's knowledge. So very warm welcome, Sister Aruna, and enjoy the experience.
Thank you, Sister Mary. Om Shanti. Lovely to be here. Is everyone okay? Enjoying? Good. So yeah, I'm honored to be here and to share and to revise with you together Baba's Murli of yesterday. So it was a Shivratri Murli. That's obvious. And it was very similar to the Sunday Murli as well. They were of different dates. And during Shivratri, there is the actual Laukik Shivratri, there is the fasting. And there is the staying up at night, the Jagran. And so Baba refers to the fasting as the sacrifice, as the renunciation. And so, of course, Baba said, you know, they copy us so well because we did these things so deeply at the confluence age. And we did it with so much heart and so much meaning that then later all of that is remembered. So in the early part of the Murli, Baba gives a lot of love and raises us to cloud nine. And gets us into that, we call it blue sky thinking, which is that anything is possible. So by giving us the love, he's saying, you're this, you're that, I love you, we're having a lovely meeting in the subtle regions. It's your birthday, my birthday, the advanced party souls are here. And so he's creating what we say in Hindi, that mahol, that ambience, to get us into that spirit. Before what? Before he now gets into telling us what we need to do. Before injecting us. So I always say the early part of the Murli is that anesthetic. He anesthetizes us. So that then when he tells us you have to do this and that, we just say, oh yeah, okay, easy. Wonderful. So how I'd like to do this session is I'm going to take up a few points from the Murli And so I'll speak a few words about it, and then we will turn the light on, and then we'll have music, and then I'll share some other thoughts and ask you some questions. Because I do believe that it is in silence, in stillness, that we have greater realization. You might have realization as you're walking and moving, sometimes that aha moment, but mostly when we have stilled the mind, the thoughts. And when we have realization, then we're able to transform. We won't transform unless we've realized that this is good for us. So let's talk about the first thing. So Baba said that everyone is waiting for us to open the gates. To open the gates to heaven. And so for that, Baba said, there needs to be a key. And the key is unlimited disinterest. So what is unlimited disinterest? Just take a moment for yourself before I share my thoughts. If you were to explain to someone unlimited, the attitude of unlimited disinterest, you don't need to tell me, just think about it. And what does it mean to you? Because each one of us has a different feeling about it. And also, why did Baba say attitude? Why did Baba say attitude of unlimited disinterest? Why not just a thought or just simply unlimited disinterest? And that is because everything we do, it gets registered in a deeper layer of the mind, which then creates an attitude. So say that something has been happening to you over time. Say you never get things right first time. Say you never understand. Say you have accidents. So when things happen over a number of times, what's the attitude you create about it? That it doesn't work, or it's not me, or I can't do it. And so what has happened is, through our life experiences, we have created attitudes towards things. So we might think, I can't do this, I can do this. But actually, as I said, the blue sky thinking is, we can all do everything. Why? Because all the specialities are there in the soul already. It's not about acquiring. Everything that I, the soul, needs is right here inside of me. So if I begin with that premise, with that attitude, that anything is possible, then when I attempt to do it, it should be possible. The only thing stopping me is me. There's a story I'd like to connect with this unlimited disinterest. And it's a story that I'm using for myself, for my efforts at the moment. And the story is that there were two people walking, two friends. So imagine they've gone on a hike, a trek. They know each other. Let's say two females. And as they've been trekking, they sit down to have lunch. When they have lunch, they start taking out what's in their bag. Their picnic, their drink. And then, as A is taking things out, B notices that A has this diamond. So B says, oh, what's that? And A says, oh, it's a diamond. And B says, that's beautiful. A says, yeah, have a look. So B takes it into their hand. It's about this size, right? And says, wow, that's awesome. So A says, do you want it? And B says, are you sure? And A says, yeah, of course, take it. If it's going to make you happy, take it. So B takes it. Then they can't carry on walking. Then they split. After a few days, B comes back to A and says, you know what? I don't want this diamond. I want what made you give up the diamond. So what is greater? To have the thing or to actually have the power and the disinterest for that thing? So think about it. So let's do a little meditation. We'll have red light and some music. And I'd like us to really go into the depth of our unlimited disinterest. Red light. What's that there? Red light. Again, we go into this awareness of I, the being, just the instrument in the body. And so we do a quick checkout of the body. And I'd like you to ask yourself, where does your interest go to? Where is your mind pulled to often? And it's okay, you can be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell anyone. Maybe you have certain hobbies, maybe to food. Maybe to clothes, maybe to traveling. Really time to be honest with the self. Yes, Baba, I have a pull to ice cream. Okay, so I hope you found something that you have an interest in, a pull, particularly a pull kind of interest. It pulls you, maybe reading books, collecting books. And so now I'd like you to ask yourself this second question. When did this begin? When did this interest begin? When as in time, and when as in did something happen that pulled you to turn to that interest? Was it a way of filling that void? That lack. A way of avoiding myself. Just seeing what answers come to you. Visualize that you are free from wanting or needing that thing. Just like the story of the diamond, I don't need it. I'm much greater than that. And then just check the feeling. What's the feeling? As you release yourself from that pull. Liberation. Mukti. Freedom. Go. Just remember how you were able to let go. Just like that. One thought, and I'm able to let go. The moment I decide. Check the feeling right now. Personal work, I really try to get in touch with the feeling, because feelings are the barometer of where we're at. And so if something feels good, then I will do more of it. So if this kind of self-reflection, self-checking, and then this idea of release, right? So for example, when we give the course to new people, we give this example, like make a fist and really hold it tightly, and then you let go. And what's the feeling? Just lightness, easiness, flexibility, freedom. And so when we keep feeling that in the soul, we want more of it, and then we develop a taste for it. So try that from time to time. Just keep looking at, okay, where am I being pulled to? Why am I being pulled to it? And how can I let go? The other thing Baba talked about was the renouncing of the I, right? This bhan. Baba said we need to finish the subtle I. And Baba said even in the Sunday Murli that you're all good at knowing I'm a soul, I'm not the body. But then he said even to have the I, the arrogance that this is my speciality. And to think that God's speciality is my speciality. In other words, the one that's given by God to me is now mine. And that is actually a very big sin. Imagine you taking on the identity of God. I'm God? Am I God? No. And so that's what we're saying. Well, this is God's job, but no, I can do that. So no. But then how to use that speciality? How to use it again in a very detached way? And so we saw Brahma Baba. We saw Brahma Baba, how no matter what he did, his consciousness was always elevated. You all know the stories where he's cleaning the lentils, cutting the vegetables, or he's making the cow dung patties. And the sisters want him to meet their VIP person, contact. And Baba says, bring them here. And they Baba, no, Baba, no, will you please meet them in the hall, not here, in the middle of all this. And Baba says, no, bring them, bring them. And what happens? As they come to Baba, what happens? They don't see him doing this menial work. They have a vision of somebody so great. Now, where did that vision come from? It's not through this. It's not the body. But it's Baba's soul that's making that effort. He's holding that effort in his consciousness. The other example I wanted to share with you is when we had our integrated retreat, there was an example from the sisters in Burma. And what they were saying is that Brother Charlie had visited. And normally from the airport to the center, there are 7-8 check posts. And at every check post, they would stop you and they would ask you, show us your passport, show us your papers, where are you going, where are you coming from? And if it's a white person, a double foreigner, they would ask, okay, who invited you? And you have to stay at a hotel. You cannot stay in anyone's home. And so the sisters were saying that nobody checked them. Nobody even noticed that Charlie Bai, because, you know, Burmese people are darker. But nobody even noticed him. It's almost like he disappeared. So, okay, one is Baba wants to get his task done. But there's also the example of when Sister Jenthi had chicken pox. So she had chicken pox, and after it was not contagious, she flew to South Africa for a program. And when she got to the airport, when she arrived, then the first people to meet her, they got shocked. Because she had these dots on her face still. So Sister Jenthi said, okay, I have to do something now. And what did she do? She got into this deep sense of soul consciousness, deep feeling, deep experience. She went beyond her own body so that others don't look at her body. That's possible. You know, right? Like if you've got something wrong with you, right? Like if you feel you've got a mark, if you feel you've got a like bent nose or something, if your mind keeps going to it, others' minds will go to it too. I mean, look at Daddy Janki. Daddy Janki was short. Initially, she used to say, I have a big face. But then she went beyond it. She didn't focus on her body. So one is not focusing on the body, and the other is not focusing on this sense of I, this I of arrogance. I did it, I did it. In fact, Mama Baba always used to check when the sisters would do something or they would give a speech, how much odor of body consciousness is coming through that. Or is there the fragrance of purity through that? But again, it's all to do with, I feel it's also a lot to do with my insecurity. If I am not full with what Baba is providing, if I'm not doing the jnana and the yoga to fill myself, then yes, I will focus on body conscious things. So the power, the money, the pennies, the position. And that's what we do. We create this false sense of I. I am now somebody. Because I'm not somebody from inside, I'm somebody from outside. So when you see me, I'm somebody. I get the love, I get the respect. But the real deep work is the pure I. How much are we cultivating the pure I, the pure soul consciousness? And also something that Mohini Didi said in the retreat. She said, if my focus is on somebody's sanskars, then they will not be able to take sustenance from me. So if I'm looking at somebody else through body consciousness, and these were conversations that a few of us were having, how to go beyond sanskars and feelings. This is the effort that's needed now. We get stuck with people's sanskars. And we get stuck in our own feeling of what we're feeling as a result of those sanskars. And actually we just need to go beyond it. Nobody needs to make you feel anything against your consent. We, through yoga, through sitting with Baba, we generate the feelings that we want to experience. Okay, so let's experiment with that now. So light, music. So let's try and go into this real deep experience of I, the pure self. Actually, before that, maybe, why don't you just stand up? Music pale chale, light white kar do, 1 minute. White light. Music pale chale. Music can play. Bhaiya, white light karenge? Yeah. So I'd like you to just turn around to somebody, whoever, doesn't matter, even if they don't speak your language. So I'd like you to look at them, and we're going to be a little radical, so I'd like you to look at their form. You have the permission now to look. These two sisters, Yolanda, you can come with Sonia. Yeah. So you have full permission to look at the form, okay? The color of the hair, the eyes, the body, glasses. Have a good look. Okay, now each one of you close your eyes. So now you should have registered some kind of form in your mind's eye of this person. So this person is actually just a body with this form. And now I'd like you to put the soul into that form, in your mind, with your eyes closed. And so now only that light is shining, sparkling, glimmering. The rest is just form. But this is the spark. Okay, you may sit down and we'll continue. Lal light. Red light. And so just continue to visualize. Original sanskars now. What are my original sanskars? So I'd like you to really feel that every sanskar of mine is purified. Let's begin with the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we interact. Just try and taste the purity of that sanskar. So how do you walk? How would you like to walk? Do not hurt Mother Earth. Accidents happen in haste, in a hurry. So how do I purify my walking? By being absolutely conscious of I, the soul, using this body. What about my eating? Perhaps I eat too fast, not in awareness. Baba said in the Murali, if I don't eat in Baba's remembrance, then that is not Brahma Bhojan. The way I speak, just try and feel the difference, the shift from body consciousness to soul consciousness. Every step, with every thought, I'm purifying my sanskars. and then what is the end result? Now just bring to your mind's eye your perfect form, where you have finally arrived, you have reached your goal, where I'm in command of my every thought, word and deed. Perfects and scars, perfection. And just say quietly to yourself, I am that perfect deity being. Every cell of your body hear that. I'm a perfect deity being. Baba said, is that it has to be done in one stroke. And so Baba said, we need to have determined thought. Even in Islam, if you're cutting the sheep and it bleats, as Baba said, it says, meh, 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 then that's not accepted. You have to do it again. And so what is it going to take for that sacrifice, that qurban? So what is it that I'm not taking from Baba that's still making me feel that I need to live in this world, to take from the world? When Baba is providing everything, he's providing as much as he can. In fact, is there any shortage from Baba's side? Is there any lack from Baba's side? He's teaching us every day. He's trying to give us the full knowledge. He's trying to sustain us through the centers, through the instruments. Look how hard the instruments work, our seniors. Has Baba left anything? No. And so we are getting a lot. And so as Baba said, we have to give the return of that. The return is a turn of myself, my transformation. So yes, the other point was determination. Baba said determination is the key to success. And so Baba said, not ordinary thoughts, determined thoughts. And we all know when we really want to do something, we make it happen because we're so determined. So again, I think there should be this interest, like it should be project me. I'm the project. And I want to transform myself. But how? Determination, but without any intensity. Shouldn't be determination feeling a struggle. There's a difference between tension, struggle, labor, and determination. You could be a king and you could be determined. Nothing can deter you. Nothing can take you away from what you want to do. And that's what Baba said in the Murali. Baba said, double foreigners, whatever they think, they do. And that's determination. And so what is a determined thought? So maybe you can just think on it for a moment with yourself. Write it down. What do you think is a determined thought? Why is it different from just a thought? What is the ammunition behind that thought? What is the purpose, life purpose, behind that thought? So recently I was reading that it's actually that Gabor Mate. So this is Gabor Mate's example. So he says when there is a trigger, you all understand trigger, right? Something happens and then you react. Right? So triggers are normally small things. Somebody talks to you with a tone. Somebody doesn't look at you. Somebody doesn't invite you, call you. Triggers are normally small, but the reaction is so big. And so he was saying that when there is a trigger, which is small in the gun, the trigger is small. But the reaction is big because there's already ammunition in the gun. It's already loaded. In other words, there's already stuff happening inside of us, and then this little thing sets it off, and we blow up. So anyway, I'm just giving that as an example on the side. If we come back to the thoughts I create for myself. So Baba said a lot of time is wasted. Thoughts are wasted, and I feel that because we don't use our time and thoughts in a worthwhile way, then that's also why we lose our happiness. Because there is wastage. And this wastage creates bad karma. So if we, at the end of the Murali, Baba said, if we are just happy and being the example and sharing that zeal and enthusiasm with others, if we feel we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, then there's just so much happiness inside because we're not doing anything wrong. And if I'm not doing anything wrong, then I've got nothing to be guilty about. And so naturally I'm feeling light. Again, it's no effort. Don't need to make effort to feel light. Lightness is a quality of the soul. So how about getting rid of this? Again, this is one of my efforts. Not thinking of others, parchintan. No pardarshan, no looking at others. All the purse. And just to put the spotlight on me, what's the effort I need to make? What's the learning in this for me? And then I'm growing. I'm becoming greater. Because life is teaching me. If I constantly try to fix everything around me, I'll go mad. Doesn't work. So let's focus on this the last few minutes. Just 2 minutes music. So I'd like us now to create very determined thoughts. So firstly, I'd like you to ask yourself, what are you determined about? Brahma Baba was very determined. Mamma was very determined. Didi Manmohidi was very determined. Daddy Prakashmani, Daddy Janki, they were all very determined. Jagdish Bhai was determined. What are you determined about? What really energizes you to get into action? What motivates you? What is the one thing that you love about this Brahmin life? Really love. That is no effort to you. That comes to you naturally, easily. It just flows from your being. Consciousness, or I'm sending light to others. Again, just really try to feel how valuable you are, how precious your time is, how precious your thoughts are. Time to waste. I'm God's helper. He needs me. He needs me every second. To be alert, to be on guard. To give whoever comes in front of me Baba wants to use me. Let me be ever ready. So let's just stay in silence for a couple of minutes. And within this silence, I'd really want you to create a greater sense of yourself. How precious you are to God, to Baba. And look at all the years of effort that you've put into this life. Day and night. Sweat and blood. Really value all that. Appreciate it.
Nothing to seek, nothing to gain. Nothing to know. Nothing to lose. Nothing to do. But let go. Let's rest here. Where the future and the past disappear. Nothing to change, nothing to fight, only what is,
only what is.
if what is,
just read the Murli again. See what really touches your heart. And then that will be the most easy thing to implement. And the other day somebody was asking me, there's so much effort to make. Which effort should I make? And I said, when we feel overwhelmed by effort, then just come back to the simplest effort. That I am a child of God. That's it. Just be Baba's child. And all that happiness and joy, sense of purpose, service, everything will come back. Om Shanti.